This is episode number 68 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of March 23rd, 2009. Coming up on today's show, this week's distractions, gaming news. After the break, we come back and we talk about score chasing and how online leaderboards have revitalized it. After that, we have new releases, listener email, and the 18 and up question of the week. Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 68.
Hello.
My name is Christopher Riccio and I'm here with Jeff Chorney.
Word up.
And Jason is not with us today, but in his place we have, returning to the show, Eric Filio.
How's it going?
How's it going, man? Welcome back to the show.
Hey, glad to be here.
Yeah, we just can't get everybody on at the same time when you're around, man. We had me and Jason the first time you were on, now it's me and Jeff. Next time it'll be Jason and Jeff.
Yeah.
That's right.
Cool. Well, we are going to be talking about score chasing later on today, but before we get to that, Eric, how you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. Life's been pretty busy lately. Got the new baby, so, you know, not quite as much time for gaming as I'd like, but, you know, getting along.
Little Zoe, how's she doing?
Doing real well. She's at about almost 11 weeks, and she is just growing fast as a weed. I mean, like, I think she was already like 25 inches long, and they were like, yeah, that's like 97th percentile or something. I'm like, holy cow.
How big was she when she was born?
What was it, 19 and three quarters, I think.
And how much did she weigh?
Wow, you're really trying to kill me here, aren't you?
No, I have a reason for asking, and I'll get to it in a second. But
I'm thinking it was 8 pounds and a large number of ounces, but it's fading slightly. I've got it written down somewhere.
Wow. My best friend just recently had a baby several months ago, and she was 9 pounds and 6 ounces.
Woo!
Huge baby.
Yeah,
and she's growing pretty fast too. So yeah, they'll go fast. But cool. Yeah, very cool. Jeff?
Not too much, man. It's that time of year where we all love and hate taxes, tax season. So I got to get on that and do them someday soon.
Yeah, how does Canada do that? Do they have the same deadline, or is it a different deadline, or what?
Our deadline, I think, is the end of April.
Okay. Ours is middle of April. I think it's April 16th this year.
Yeah, I think ours might be like the 20th or something like that, but it's around that time.
Gotcha. Cool.
So I need to hunker down one day and put down the Street Fighter 4 and do my taxes. It's going to be tough, which I know that's the real reason Jason's not here. I know he says he's busy and whatnot, but I know what it really means is he's going to continue to play Street Fighter 4 to get even that much better than the rest of us.
Well, you know, he is going to be taking part in a final round this weekend. So
that's right.
You know, so I can understand if that's what he's doing.
For sure.
Plus, I know he's going to be having house guests.
That's right.
So cool. Yeah, same. Not much here, man. Same as always. I'm just trying to get the final details of the wedding plant finished out, and God, it's only like a week away. It really came fast. You know, it seems like just yesterday I was talking about, oh, I've got 6 months to go, and now I have like 9 days, 10 days. So,
and then that turns to the rest of your life.
That's right. Yep. Ah, very cool. All right, well, let's jump in. Eric?
Yes, sir.
What's distracting you this week?
Like I said, not too much. I'm still trying to get a little time on World of Warcraft. I haven't made much progress since the expansion came out, but I've got like a level 71 or level 72. I think I might just hit level 72 with a Warlock or something.
Wow.
Of course, been playing Street Fighter 4. Loving that game.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we got to play online sometime.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've only gotten like 2 matches in online, and the way my internet connection's been working lately at home, not looking so good for getting any playing going, so I'm going to have to call Charter and stomp them into the ground so I can get my fight on.
Yeah, good idea.
But I've actually liked the difficulty on that. I know a lot of people have been complaining about it, but I've been playing through on medium, and I'm actually doing better than I did on original Street Fighter 2. Like, I can actually get through the game on, you know, it still takes me several continues, but I can get through it. Whereas on old Street Fighter 2, it seemed like once I got to like the third character, I had to continue like 8 times on every person I fought after that.
Yeah.
So the old ones are much harder, especially Turbo. It was really tough.
Oh man, Turbo and Super Turbo, both of them.
Absolutely. Beyond that, I had to pick up a new AC adapter for my DS Lite because I have no idea where it disappeared to. So I finally charged that back up, and I've got a pack of games I need to play. I haven't played lately, you know, like Dragon Quest V and such like that. So I don't have as much gaming this week, though. I'm trying to catch up.
How have you played 5 yet at all?
No, I'm looking forward to it. I lost the AC adapter before I picked that up, and as soon as I bought it, I started going on mad hunt around the house for it, and I just gave up and finally picked another one up.
Gotcha. So. Yeah, I played 4. I haven't played 5 yet.
Yeah, I played all the way through 4 and loved that because that was pretty much my favorite game back in the day.
But, oh, okay.
I've heard tell that 5 is the pinnacle of the series, so I'm really looking forward
to it. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I waited around to get 4. I ended up getting it for like $18 or something like that, brand new.
Nice.
So I'll
nice.
Probably do the same thing with 5. I don't like the Squeenix tax. It kind of annoys the crap out of me that all their games are $40, and they're the only company that has $40 games on the DS.
Yeah, so. And I'm one of those suckers who'll actually buy them because I bought Chrono Trigger right when it came out for $40, and Dragon Quest 4 and Dragon Quest 5, and you know, if they'd put out Secret of Mana for $40 on the DS, I'd buy that too. You know,
I actually might do that too because I've actually never played Secret of Mana. I actually missed it, so I would love to go back and play that. But yeah, cool.
Especially if it had some sort of online multiplayer.
I was
all over it.
I was so disappointed when I heard that like Crystal Chronicles wasn't online, because I was like, sweet, loot hunting. And then they said it was ad hoc only. I was like, fuck. Yeah.
Dang.
Kind of like my feelings with Phantasy Star Portable right now, but that's okay.
Oh.
Cool. All right. Well, Jeff, how about you, man?
Lots of Street Fighter 4 still. Almost nightly. Me and Scott actually had an epic night. Scott from the Goo, a gamers only older. Fucking hell, gamers only older. last Friday, I think it was, where we jumped on around like 9 o'clock or something. It was like 9:30, 10 maybe my time, and we were gonna play a few matches. A few matches turned into 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Nice. So
yeah, that was pretty fun. Also, I noticed it's bringing people out of the woodwork. There's actually a new member to VG Evo. I believe, I could be wrong, I'm pretty sure his name is Silent Hitchura. Silent Hitchura.
Something like that.
And, yeah, he's actually from Scotland, and he recently came on VG Evo and messaged a few of us and was like, hey, you know, want to play some Street Fighter? And then I got to play a couple matches with him yesterday. And really good player, by the way. And he was just saying how he was listening to the show for a while, and that he like how we were talking about Street Fighter all the time, and got him interested. And he was like, "Hey, I'm gonna play these guys, see what they're all about." And then he ended up joining VG Evo and loves it. And yeah, so welcome to the club. And yeah, this is a good story of people joining up.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, all over the and world. It's funny too because I was mentioning this to Jason and Jeff too. He actually was on my friends list already. I'm pretty sure I know him from the PlayStation Underground forums.
Okay.
I didn't post there a ton, but I did quite a bit, and I'm pretty sure that's where I know him from. And like out of the blue, I got a message, and he goes, "I had no idea you were Chris from Indus." And I'm like, "Yeah, cool." and he's like, and he's just saying, you know, talking about wanting to play Street Fighter 4, and I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I just need to get my ass off of Phantasy Star and go play Street Fighter again." So I'm glad he joined up to VG Evo, and I'm glad he hooked up with you guys and got to play some.
Yeah, there's someone else too that who was saying the same thing about the us talking about Street Fighter that joined up and stuff. So glad to see Street Fighter's kind of coming back with vengeance. And yeah,
I'm glad to see that there's a Street Fighter that I'm really excited to play.
Exactly. So what else have I been playing? Oh, I busted open Halo Wars.
Okay.
Finally. Well, I say finally, but it only took like 2 days after I bought it. I'm actually liking it. I mean, I know I can see where people are complaining about it, especially the RTS folk that play it a lot, and they say that, you know, it's not deep enough, there's not enough units, it's not as, you know, it's just not too much you can do. But for me, who's relatively new to RTS games, like I haven't really played them since Warcraft 2, I guess it was, I like it, I love it. Being in the Halo universe 2 helps a lot, because it's automatically gets my interest. The storyline, the whole like Halo lore,
right?
Nice.
I will say the first few missions are a bit slow. It is pretty much you have a base or you set off somewhere, you build up a bunch of units, as many units as you can, then you just go screw up the other team or whatnot. But then after a while, after a few chapters, you get to the point where you kind of have to manage different smaller teams at one time and send out like a group of troops somewhere, another group somewhere else. And that's where it kind of gets really interesting for me, where you have to actually manage what you're doing. It doesn't seem as easy as I thought at the beginning. So that's kind of cool. Also, let people know, a lot of people have been reading online and stuff saying that they hate how there's no way to select the certain types of units you make, but that's actually not true. It doesn't tell you how to do it in the tutorial for some reason. I haven't read the manual, so it might be in there, but if you hold down the left bumper, I believe it is, then use the right trigger, it cycles through the units that you've made, and say you click on, like, I don't know, the ODST troopers, it selects all of them, and you tell them what to do. So you actually can group them up. So, just a little tip for people that who can't find that option.
All right. But, now, this is your first RTS, right?
Well, since Warcraft 2.
Warcraft, okay.
Yeah, and Warcraft 2 I wasn't really huge into.
All right.
Yeah, I haven't played online yet. I just know I'll get worked. Unless I'm still with, like, a newbie, I just know I will. Like, I've already seen videos of, like, games that have lasted, like, 5 minutes. I'm just like, what the hell? Like, I can't even have, like, an army built up in that amount of time. Never mind, like, you know, 15 warthogs. But
people that play RTSs on a regular basis, they're no joke, man.
They're serious.
They're crazy. it's pretty nuts. Like, my buddy plays StarCraft like he's a fiend. It's crazy. It's like, you want to learn how to play StarCraft? And I'm like, not with you.
there's already names out there for certain, like, there's the Warthog Rush and stuff like that, and there's another one, if you're the Covenant, I guess it's the Ghost Rush or something, like, that just annihilate the other team really quick. I'm just like, oh, that's no fun. But, like I said, I haven't tried it yet, and there is matchmaking, so, pardon me, so hopefully that you won't be set up against some elite player the first time you go online, or the first time I go online. The campaign does seem a little bit short right now, because I think there's 15 chapters, and I think I'm on the 9th, and that's only with about 2 serious sit-downs, and serious sit-downs, I mean, maybe playing for like 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
Each. So it seems to me like that you could probably beat the campaign, like a good RTS player could probably, I'm guessing, beat the whole thing in probably about 5 hours.
Wow.
Maybe. Like, I'm just throwing that, like, you know, taking that number out of my ass, because I figured if it takes me that long to get to, like, the 9th chapter or 8th, then, yeah. But it's cool. I love the CG in it is awesome, and I love the style of the CG. Like, I'm really hoping that whoever's making the next Halo proper is looking at this saying, we need to remodel our characters and make them look like this, because they look more, like, way less cartoony. It's not as shiny and colorful.
Oh, really?
It's more dark. Yeah, it looks way more like dark sci-fi type stuff, and it looks really cool. Like, the elites actually look creepy and scary instead of, like, these big blue, like, lizard looking teddy bears. So, so I'm kind of hoping, yeah, whoever it is, take note. It's really cool. But yeah, that's pretty much it, really.
No Killzone?
Basically, yeah. Oh shit, yeah. How can I forget Killzone? Yeah, Killzone, not a lot of Killzone, because every time I pop it in, I've had kind of network issues lately. So I'll get into a game, I'll play a full game, then usually in the second game I play, it kicks me out halfway. And I know it's not the game. I know it's my router, my connection, so I gotta get that fixed. I did notice, though, they did patch it last week. And the first thing I did notice is they did patch the controls. Even though the patch list doesn't say they fixed the controls, they definitely did, because the dead zone on the DS3 on the right stick is way more tight now. It's like way smaller than it was.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's. And then a few days off, I went online and I was like, all right. And then I was just getting murdered. And I was like, oh my God, does people get that much better just because of this control change? And then I just realized I was just having a bad day, because the next day I played again, I didn't do as bad. But I like the fix, especially in single player. It feels a lot better. And multiplayer, it does as well. So
cool.
Yeah, I think I've come to a conclusion, though. I know some people will agree, a lot of people will disagree, but the maps that are in Killzone 2 are not meant for 32 players. I just don't think they are. There's too many funnel points where it just funnels everyone into one area and it just becomes a clusterfuck, like we said in our show last week.
Yeah, and
it doesn't look like that's going away at all. Like, I know we talked about different strategies you could do, but what it comes down to is people just throwing grenades all the time into a room and everyone just dying every 2 seconds. So, a simple fix that is we don't have to have 32 player matches. Like,
right.
Come on, people, let's start making some 20 player matches or 16 or something. I think that'd be perfect.
Cool.
But I still love it. Still love it. Those are the 3 games that pretty much got all my attention last week.
All right.
How about you, Chris?
I have not had time to play much at all. Literally, the only thing I've played is Phantasy Star. And I haven't even played that much. More than anything, I've been trying to get Ad Hoc Party working, and it's just not cooperating with me. I've tried forwarding ports. I DMZ'd to my PS3, and that just made it worse. So, I mean, I'm still working on that. Chibi Knight can still connect, apparently, to other people. Just not me. So, hopefully I'll get that figured out. But, man, I am seriously loving this game. Oh, people out
there
that... I do
have to backtrack for 1 second. Sorry for interrupting.
Go ahead.
Because this is important, and Jason's not here, but me and Jason are actually, for the first time ever, available to connect in Street Fighter.
Yeah, because you changed some stuff on your router, didn't you?
Yeah, I DMZ'd the PS3. But the problem is that's when I started getting all the other problems where I couldn't connect to other people, and then I was getting like disconnect issues on Street Fighter 4. So lately I've gone back to the old way, so I don't know if I can connect to Jason anymore. But with a DMZ'd, I know I can connect to him. And yeah, when you think you're good at Street Fighter, play Jason, and you're humbled pretty fast. That's all I'll say right now, Jason.
He is really good. He is really good. I'm actually... Okay, I don't know if anybody knows who his house guests are for this weekend, but... Gutex is actually coming in town for final round, and he's crashing at Jason's place.
Yeah.
So cool. That's what's going on there. And him and Mike Ross, I think, both really, you know, top-ranked Street Fighter players. And, you know, the first thing that I said to Jason was like, if you guys aren't doing anything Friday, I'm coming over, and we're playing Street Fighter all fucking night. Because so, I want them to you know, show me the ropes. I want to learn some more about this game. Because, I mean, there's no better people to learn from than these guys. So, I'm really looking forward to that. Hopefully they're willing to hang out Friday, because they're, you know, he was saying that either they'll just chill out at his place, or they might want to go and check out some of their competition at final round. Because I think it's just like people are showing up and they're allowed to play on Friday night. The tournament isn't until Saturday. So I'm not sure how they're going to do that. So hopefully I'll get a chance to go over there and play with them some. That's cool. My hope. But what you were saying, Jeff, with the whole DMZ thing, I was mentioning that with Phantasy Star, with Ad Hoc Party, I can actually see another person's game, or I can start a game and another person can see my game. But when we actually try to jump into the game after forming the party, it's like the leader will go into the game and the person who's joined will just see the gray scrolling background. And that's the way it's been, you know, that's how it started. I did some port forwarding. It still did that. I turned on DMZ. I couldn't even see people's games anymore.
Wow.
So it literally made it worse. I'm like, I'm opening this thing wide up and I can't see anything anymore. That was kind of frustrating. But, but Phantasy Star is awesome. PSO fans, this is what PSU should have been. This is what you want to play. So. Definitely go check it out. But yeah, that's literally the only thing I played. I had not had time to play anything else. Yeah. I wanted to jump on Killzone, but I just never got time. Same thing with Street Fighter.
You got to make some more time for Flower. That's what you need to do.
I am done with Flower. Done with Flower. I do want to make more time for Nobi Nobi Boy, though, because that game is fucking weird.
Actually, I need to, too.
Will you make some more time for Street Fighter? How about that?
I do. I do need to make more, especially if we're doing the Street Fighter League.
Exactly.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
I need to be at least, you know, closer to the level that you guys are at. So, but yeah, that's it. So I'm gonna hand the show back over to Jeff and let him do some news.
Alrighty, you guys want some news?
Yes,
I'm gonna give you some news.
Yes.
Once I open up my Gmail. Because it closed for some reason.
Our news guy is awesomely prepared tonight.
It was open. I don't know why it was closed. That is weird. So, anyone got a good joke? Any good joke? Good jokes, Bork?
There's two muffins in an oven. One muffin looks at the other and says, "It's kind of hot in here." The other muffin says, "Oh my god, talking muffin!"
So much better when it's a sausage. Anything else?
An infinite number of mathematicians walks into a bar. You heard this one?
What's that? No.
An infinite number of mathematicians walks into a bar. The first one orders a beer. The second one orders half a beer. The third one orders a quarter of a beer. The bartender says, "Shut up," and pours them two beers.
Nice.
Well, I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
Math joke.
Math joke. Well, math joke, it's a good segue, actually, because the first bit of news has a little bit of numbers. Because Revision 3 has picked up the show co-op, for those that don't know, Area 5, which came from 1UP. the people that were basically laid off from 1UP, the guys like, who were they? Matt Chandranaut, Ryan O'Donnell, the guys who did the 1UP show.
Yeah, yeah.
They basically, when they were like, hey, listen, we want to keep this up. Let's do it. So they went and they formed Area 5 with a bunch of other ex, I guess, video game journalists, not all from 1UP. And cool. They had a show called Co-op. And they've had a few episodes already. I'm not sure exactly how many. I watched the first couple. But anyway, they were picked up by Revision 3. And Revision 3 are host to a bunch of other internet sites, like the Totally Rad Show.
Dig Nation.
Techzilla. Stuff along those lines. So what were you going to say, Bor?
Dig Nation.
Yeah, basically, Dig Nation, exactly. Yeah. So that's going to give them a whole bunch more. Well, get them into a wider market, that's for sure.
Yeah, exposure.
Like,
yeah, sweet.
Yeah,
I didn't even know they did that, so I'm going to have to go check that out, because I am missing me some 1UP show, big time.
Yeah, Somewhere was a really great show.
Yeah.
And so was Co-op, actually, if you want to look it up. It's at area5tv.net or something like that. It's a weird email, or weird fucking site name. But yeah, just look it up. Just type in Area 5.
I'll have to check that one out.
It's like .tv or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it is. But
Area 5.tv. I see it.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. Area 5.tv. That's totally weird. But yeah, anyway. So good for them. Hopefully that means they're going to get a little bit more of a budget now to do their shows and keep doing the good work.
Absolutely.
Get more exposure.
I'm going to check them out tomorrow, I think.
Cool.
Yeah.
BioShock 2 was announced not too long ago, and the first rumor out was that this one's actually I don't know what's wrong with me today. At least because I don't have any drinks, that's why. But instead of having the little sisters, they're going to have something called the big sisters. They start off as a rumor, but then Game Informer confirmed it's actually a cover story. Would actually show a picture of what these big sisters look like.
Wow.
And they basically look like thinner, taller versions of the big daddies. And has a kind of like a little sister, but they're a little bit bigger inside this little cage thing on their back. And but apparently they're supposed to be really agile and like fast moving and stuff like that. And they look really creepy. So,
That sounds creepy.
Yeah. It does. And big daddies are creepy enough to begin with. So now they can move like four times as fast. And
so it's
going to
be like
walls.
Basically, we're going to have a bunch of Valdos chasing us.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Exactly.
I still need to go back and play BioShock. I bought it off Steam.
Actually, I do too. I've only played part of it.
Yeah,
I played like the first like 10 minutes or so of it, and then it's one of those games that Crystal said she doesn't want me playing it while she's around.
That's funny.
So she came downstairs and I was like, okay, I'll stop.
Yeah, Tiny was freaked out by that game. She never played if she was trying to sleep before me. Big Daddy scared her.
Nice.
Yeah. Anywho, Burnout. We all love Burnout.
I love Burnout.
Absolutely.
I guess since it's been, since the inaugural game back on PS2, there hasn't really been any competition for it. But the Pure developers are actually working on a game called Split Second.
Oh, I heard about
that's
this.
That's what it's called.
Yeah, I think I saw a couple pics of it.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool, and they're the guys who made Pure, and Pure is a gorgeous game. If you guys remember that,
type
game, kind of like. A little bit MotorStormy-ish, but more focused on, I guess, tricks and stuff.
Right.
Rather than racing. But yeah, so it's basically a fast-paced racing game. It's going to be based on a reality TV show. And the big difference between this and Burnout is Burnout was more circle, like, I guess, focused on you crashing into the other cars and making the other cars go off the road. This is going to use more of the environment around you. Like, there's going to be stuff exploding and stuff like that. And you can, like, possibly push a car into them and...
Nice.
Bridges and stuff. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Not too much has been released except for that it's basically been announced in a couple screenshots. But if these screenshots are real, it does look gorgeous. And
yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it can give them a run for their money.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything else like that, more games like that, I'm all for them.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I still need to I think I might download that full Burnout pack on PSN.
Oh, it's so good.
It's a good price now.
Absolutely.
It's so good, especially now that they added the restart.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
Burnout has a whole new, Burnout Paradise is all new to me now.
Cool.
So
I'm gonna try that. See if any one of you guys wants to jump online with it, because looks like a game that would be a lot of fun online.
Yeah, I've never played it online, so I'd be interested in that.
Yeah, me neither, because I have the 360 version. Oh.
Oh man. Twitter. We just recently went onto Twitter. It's the next big thing after Facebook, I guess. A lot of things have been leaked through this Twitter. I guess people get all drunk and shit at parties. And like, oh, I'm going to put a Twitter and release some information that no one knows about. And the next day, be like, ah, fuck. Oh, I'm so fired. And, well, it looks like somebody might have done that the other night because this guy named Ross, Jonathan Ross, to be exact, he went on his Twitter late last night and wrote to, I guess, his fans. He said, "Good night, all. Must go to bed. Got asked to do a voice in Fable 2 tonight. Sabarashi Oyasuminasai. Was out." So, this is a game that hasn't even been confirmed yet, Fable 3. I mean, 2 just came out. 3 hasn't even been talked about, at least in public.
Right.
And that couldn't have been good. So, what actually happened was somebody replied to his Twitter and said, "Hey, basically, are they doing a Fable 3? And he replied back to them saying, "Yes, they are doing it. Charlie Brooker said he would also do a voice for it, too. Great fun." And then, he woke up this morning and his Twitter said, "Good morning. Today I must file DVDs, write a piece for the Times, apologize to Peter Molyneux, and go to Thorpe Park for an SSL roller coaster." Then when he was asked why he had to apologize, he said, "Because I think I revealed something that was not officially announced yet." Yeah.
That's awesome. Wonder if he still gets that role.
No kidding. I think it's funny because that's the same way that the stuff broke with the PSP2 with the guy from guy from Shiny. What's his name? You know, he did Earthworm Jim and all that stuff. He's the guy who basically confirmed that there's PSP 2.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
Why can't I remember his name right now?
But the guy from Acclaim that did it, right?
Yeah. Oh. Is he from Acclaim now? I don't know what he's doing now. Dave Perry?
Is it Dave Perry? Yeah, Perry. Something Perry.
Yeah, maybe. Definitely not Luke Perry. But either way, Twitter's a new way to break embargoes, I guess. So
there you go.
If you're going to do it on there. Little tidbit here. Last year or so, people have been kind of complaining that PSP hasn't got any games or any new games. And for this year, that's pretty much been true. After God of War, or actually last year, after God of War and I guess it was Advent
Children. Crisis Core.
Yeah. That was pretty much it.
Those are their two blockbuster titles on the PSP last year, yeah.
Yeah, and they're both early. But Sony came out and said, "We basically under-supported the PSP in favor of the PS3. And at first, people were like, "Oh, you gotta support both platforms." I think that was a great idea for them because this year, and getting their shit together with the PS3 is probably the best thing they've done because it's finally going to get some momentum. They have some amazing games coming out this year. Killzone just launched, and it looks like it's a huge success. So that's fine. And they just recently announced the Rock Band for the PSP, the Motor Storm, possibly another God of War, and Little Big Planet. So they're obviously back to supporting it in full force again like they used to.
Yep.
So all you PSP people are complaining. Hey, now you got great PS3 games, and now you got good PSP games coming down the line.
Fantasy Star.
There you go.
Hey, speaking of Little Big Planet real quick, have you guys seen Little Big Contra?
No, I've heard about it, though. I heard it's really cool.
Oh, man. Eric, some guys over at NeoGAF apparently got together and recreated the entire original Contra in Little Big Planet one stage at a time.
Whoa. Even the indoor stages?
Yes, even the indoor stages. They're really weird the way they did the indoor stages, but it's fucking amazing how good they did it, how well they did it. So, I mean, I'm like, okay, this week I'm playing some more Little Big Planet because, number one, I still need to play that Metal Gear pack, and number two, the Contra looks awesome.
Nice. I'm assuming that somewhere on YouTube we can see that.
If you search for Little Big Contra on YouTube, you'll probably get the official preview from NeoGAF.
Nice.
But yeah, it's some sweet ass stuff. They even showed in that video, they even showed the last boss. It looks just outstanding. Outstanding.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Nah.
I'm just kidding.
Well, hold on. There's a big piece of news here. And even cooler than Little Big Contra.
Oh.
Well, I remember Stranglehold, that game that came out early in the...
Oh, that was John Woo.
John Woo, Chow Yun Fat thing, sequel to Hard Boiled.
Yeah.
But in game form.
Yes.
Didn't sell too great. It was okay, I guess. But they are actually going to put that game into a movie. They're kind of going reverse here. They kind of went movie, then the game, back to movie.
Cool.
John Woo isn't confirmed to be behind it, and Chow Yun-fat also isn't confirmed to be acting in the movie. So we just know we're going to make a Stranglehold movie, because I guess a lot of people are interested in it.
As long as Louis Bowl is not behind it.
Exactly.
I'll be fine.
But even if he's not behind it, Eric, though, how do you really feel about this, though? Like, were you a big fan of Stranglehold?
I played the demo. I never played the full version. I thought it was pretty sweet. So, I mean, it has the potentials for a good action movie, I'd say.
Okay, I'll try this again. Eric, what do you think? Yeah. What do you think about the Stranglehold movie?
How about
who gives a shit? All
right, here's my issue with this. It's a movie that moved to a game, and now they're taking that game and making a movie. All right, yeah. It's bad enough when you take games and make them movies; they always suck, almost always. I should say.
Pretty much.
And when you make a movie a game, they always suck.
Yeah.
But then when you make a movie a game and then make it a movie, it's just going to suck even more. It's like suck squared.
Oh, especially if you don't have the people that were in the original, like... Chow
Yun-fat is what made Hard Boiled, so, you know. And it's the reason Stranglehold caught any interest at all, in my opinion. So, I mean, I thought the game was okay. It wasn't fantastic or anything, but... I am definitely not interested in a Stranglehold movie.
No.
Especially if it does not have Chow Yun-fat in it. If it is John Woo and Chow Yun-fat, then I probably would consider getting it on DVD and watching it, or like getting it from Netflix or something. But, you know, other than that, forget it.
I hear you.
Forget it. Not interested.
Oh, that was your news.
Awesome.
That was big news week.
Thank you, Jeff. All right, cool. Well, let's take a break. And we will come back and we will talk about score chasing, and then we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Word.
It's time to wake up.
You know, when I was a kid, I was a hardcore gamer. There wasn't a single game that I owned that I didn't beat, and I was good. Like, I could beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. One guy. But then the kids came, and the responsibilities. I just didn't have the time or the motivation to keep up. My game backlog just kept growing and growing with each new release. I needed help. So I visited the Game Backlog Support Group on VG Evo. They helped me take control of my backlog.
The VG Evo Game Backlog Support Group is a non-profit organization helping gamers relieve their backlog troubles. Having a game backlog is a debilitating and embarrassing predicament. VG Evo is here to help.
I no longer have to lie about the video games I've played. I can finally say with confidence, yes, I have beat Devil May Cry. And you know what? Nero is a whiny bitch.
If you or someone you know is suffering from their game backlog, please contact www.vgevo.com.
And welcome back.
You welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome.
All right, cool. Today we are talking about leaderboards, and if online leaderboards have actually basically revived score chasing. And the reason I wanted to bring this up was because you always hear about like all the good game players back in the day that were playing Donkey Kong and all those other games, Galaga and stuff like that. And score chasing was a huge thing in the arcades and stuff like that. But then it seems like everything kind of shifted over to the console space. And it was more about the experience of the game and beating the game and that kind of thing. And score chasing kind of, it feels like it kind of took a hiatus. And now online leaderboards are all the rage, and everybody is score chasing again. It seems. I mean, do you guys notice that as well?
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Achievements kick that off big time.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite parts of the Xbox Live Arcade experience.
Mm-hmm.
Is the leaderboards your friends' leaderboards?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, that was the thing that brought me in to buy the 360 originally. That's what pushed me into this generation, was the ability to. Basically have leaderboards with your friends or anyone in the world.
Cool. Now, did you do like score chasing before the 360, like with games on other consoles or in arcades or something?
Oh yeah, back in the day, definitely on the, especially in the arcades. Like, you know, even as a kid, you'd be playing like Galaga or Pac-Man. And, you know, you'd see the high score up there, so you'd sit there and try to see if you could beat it, and or try to roll it if you could. You know, not that that ever happened back then, but
yeah.
You know, or you'd go play pinball, and you know, just the whole allure of being able to put your initials in back in the day was just
yeah.
It meant you were the king of the arcade or the king of that game in the arcade.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, I'll even admit to playing Revolution X about way too many times just because I wanted to get the high score on the Aerosmith leaderboard.
Nice. all right, cool. Well, let's jump into some emails real quick, and we'll see where this goes. With Jason not here, I'm going to take over the email department, so you guys bear with me because I suck at reading out loud.
Sorry.
This one's from our friend Necro, who... apparently the voicemail that we got last week that we couldn't understand who it was from because it was kind of breaking up and the audio quality was bad, it was from Necro. Sorry about that, Necro.
Oh, I got to tell a funny story about Necro, actually.
Okay, go for it.
I mentioned it while we were kind of off air, but...
oh, no.
He was a huge, like, I don't want to say MS fanboy, but he loved his 360, and he basically talked down the PS3 whenever he had a chance, blah, blah, blah. So he picks up a PS3 and automatically falls in love with it. And then he goes back saying, like, you know what, I think I like my PS3 better. You know, I'm on it way more in my 360 right now. So that's all good and fine. The other day, he comes up and messages, oh, crap, my PS3 died. It crapped out on him.
Oh.
So he ended up taking it apart. And, of course, people are, like, bugging him about it. And he put it back together or whatever. And then he says, it's working now. It's working fine. But it still has a couple hitches here and there. But the funny shit is as much as he's still going on about, you know, he would probably trade in his 360 if it meant you'd get a PS3 that was guaranteed to work. He goes to turn on his 360 today and he gets the 3 red rings.
that's
karma, Necro. Yeah, that's we're not playing
awful
here.
See, I didn't know about the 3 red rings thing until you told me, so yeah. Oh man, because I didn't read that yet, but damn, that's...
Yeah, but he thinks it's the GPU that crapped out on him, though, so and that's not the 3 red ring one, that's, like, the other one, so it's, or the graphics card is like, shut, so...
I would still call Microsoft a bitch.
Yeah, so I said, if you call him a bitch about anything, like, just say, like, you know, loyalty, all this other BS, and you could probably get it fixed for free. That's how all customer service works.
And then you could just say, well, I'm just going to trade in all my 360 games, and,
that's
you know...
That's all you'd probably have to say, yeah, exactly.
And get more PS3 games.
Yep, cancel my live account. And
that's right.
There you go. But anyway, into his email.
All right, cool. hey, Necro here. First off, gotta say, I was disappointed I didn't get to hear my voicemail last week. I actually managed to keep it to 5 minutes this time. But I understand as you guys got shit ton of emails and such to go through. Oh my God. Bork, I don't know if you've gotten a chance to listen to the last few shows, but... The crazy amounts of email last couple shows between Street Fighter and Killzone.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Apparently those games are popular.
Yeah, people like those games for some reason. I don't understand. Anyway, on to the question of the week. For me, yes, it has on certain games. Games that I know I can be competitive on the leaderboards, I'm very much a score chaser. As I've said before, I've posted top scores in Ninja Gaiden and Devil May Cry 4 both. Getting as high as number 2 on some of the Ninja Gaiden 2 leaderboards.
Wow, worldwide?
That's insane.
I don't know if it's worldwide or not, but I mean this, he is, seriously, Eric, he plays Ninja Gaiden on Super the fucking Hardest. And it's like, when he got Ninja Gaiden 2, he started on Super the fucking Hardest. So, you know, he's really good at Ninja Gaiden, and he knows his shit about this game too, so, I mean, it's...
Nice.
Yeah, he's good. For me, it kind of turns the single-player experience into almost a multiplayer experience, because now, with the internet, you can really show off your score. True, I like that.
Yeah.
And games in general that have scores or mission ranks always draw me back, because I'm an OCD freak when it comes to that sort of thing. I totally understand what he's talking about there. I racked up 120 hours in Devil May Cry 4 trying to get S ranks on every mode. Holy shit.
Jesus.
Which I almost did until I started to lose interest. And not to get off topic, but Capcom, what the fuck? you go from making Dante Must Die on DMC3 a nightmare to DMC4's DMD mode on freaking Cakewalk. What's DMD mode?
Dante Must Die again, yeah. I guess.
Oh, is Dante Must Die the super fucking hardest?
I think so.
Okay, cool. I was not aware. All right.
I'm just guessing, actually. I don't know.
That makes sense. To play on you picked up on it much quicker than I did, so good deal. In short, yes, I enjoy online leaderboards in a lot of games, and to be honest, probably just... Wait, sorry. In a lot of games... And to be honest, probably just another list of reasons why I like Ninja Gaiden over God of War. Oh, here we go. I'm competitive as hell, and stuff like that keeps me coming back. I'm currently working on batting down thousands of players in Killzone 2 to try and get the top 1% for the ribbon. Probably not going to happen, although I did manage to get the 6% ribbon 2 weeks running. Nice. Good job. Oh, and Chris, I have a nice box of sniper bullets with your name on it, so please come join us at Killzone 2 online. Yeah, that's a way to get me to join. There we go. I'm tired of shooting Joffy in the face already.
No, whatever.
I
owned his shit
meat
last time I was in the game with him. Made him my bitch.
Love your Resident Evil Ninja Gaiden expert. I'm sorry, your Resident Ninja Gaiden expert Necro. I saw Resident. It was like Resident Evil. Oh, okay. Well, he brings up a couple things. One thing that I really wanted to get into to talk about is the OCD thing, and. Mm-hmm. I'm huge on that with things like what he was saying with Devil May Cry, when it has a rank that you have to get, and like especially with things like where they have like specific trials that you have to do to get medals. And Jeff, one of the big games that I'm going to talk about for leaderboards is Grip Shift, and you know how big Crayman is on Grip Shift, and that's a game that, I mean, if I didn't get it absolutely perfect the way I wanted to, I would restart it, and I would restart the race. And I mean,
love that game.
That is one game that I am definitely a score chaser on, because I want to get the gold on everything, you know. And if I don't, I stop and I keep going.
Yes, I don't know. I'm extremely competitive, but I think I'm more competitive in the direct competition type games, like anything you're playing multiplayer and stuff like that, like whether it's Street Fighter or like a first person shooter or a sports game, I get mad competitive and I want to win. I hate losing, but I don't know, stuff like that, I just can't. The only game I really was like that where I'm like, okay, if I got it wrong, I'd start again, was Boom Blocks for the Wii. Like, I needed to get all of those on one throw because I knew it was possible. I'm like, I got to figure this out, and to some extent, Wipeout HD. I wanted to get gold medal in all the
races. I'm with on that one too.
And it was pretty much impossible until they released that patch, like about a month later. But that was I don't know. I in terms of actual score, unless it's something I know I'm good at, or unless I start with the highest score, I really couldn't care less. See, like, if sir, go ahead.
I was gonna say, yeah, that's what I was wondering, is if people like the direct competition more, because, you know, you get that tangible right then, you're destroying an opponent thing, and, you know, maybe you get discouraged because you think you have a great game of, say, Stardust, but then you're like, oh, I just had the best game I've ever had. Then it goes to the scoreboard and you're like 9,000th in the world, and you're like,
yeah, exactly.
You kind of get discouraged. You're like, well, that was a great score, but apparently not. So then it's like, well, I'm not going to play that again.
Yeah, like a perfect example of that is when Bionic Commando Over Your Arm came out and they had those challenges.
Oh,
I did one. I can't remember which one it was. It was one where you basically had to drop down, swing, and then do something else, and you're into the exit. And I did it ridiculously fast. And I was like, oh my god, I have to check. Like, I wasn't checking my scores like online at all. I just want to get through the levels. But this one I did so fast, and like my first time, like, I got to see where I am. And I was like, this is like the day the game came out, or like 2 days later, I have to be up there. And I was like 10,000th or something like that. And I was like, are you serious? How could that possibly get any faster? And I tried over and over and over again, and I only got worse at it instead of better. And I'm just like, ah, fuck it. No way I'm going to get that score. And I just gave up.
See, I didn't do anything like that, but here's my experience with the Bionic Commando Challenge Rooms. I have our buddy David that we've mentioned on the show, and he sent in a voicemail talking about the how much he hated the fact that GameCube games were being remade on Wii. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well, he, like, the day that I got Bionic Commando, I went into that first challenge room, and I, you know, started doing the challenges just to see what they were like, and then I went back to the game. I didn't even bother with trying to get a fast time or anything like that. All of a sudden, I get a message from David saying, "Hi, I beat your time on this challenge." And I was like, oh, it's on.
Exactly, yeah. That's the thing. Like, if I start with a good number that I know I know, even like, even my friends list, the top, and then someone messaged me, oh, I beat your time on this, you were the number one, then I'll go and be like, okay, that's it, like, it's on, like, it's a one-on-one match, let's do this, let's go. But if it's something that I think is already out of reach, and this is something I always tell you, Chris, and like, especially with Street Fighter 4 and Killzone, a lot of people like to play offline first to get used to the game or whatever, then jump online, yeah. Or they want to be like slowly brought into it. But my mentality is, the more I'm not playing online, the worse I'm getting at the game, and the better everyone else is.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the best way to get good, the fast way to get good at a game is to play it and just be thrown to the wolves. And, you know, just like, get your ass kicked, but you're gonna learn from it.
Yeah, you'll learn what strategies people actually use and such.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that especially bodes well with Street Fighter 4. Like, playing the computer and playing offline is not gonna get anyone any better at the game. So they actually fight people like one on one. But yeah, so that was like my mentality of like especially the score type, chasing type games, stuff like that. Like, if I don't get into it right away, and I see the scores are, like, I think are way out of hand, I'm just like, forget it. So in a way, I'm like the opposite. If I don't start, I get too discouraged. But if I start right away, it's like, and then I get beat by so much, then I get discouraged. Yeah. So I guess that's why I don't get too obsessed with it.
All right, cool. Should we do another email?
Sure.
Sure.
All right, cool. This is from Pope Tay-Tay. We all know him. He says, hello, indestructible.
Man.
Lol, I'm a little behind. I just got the game, just got the joke. Thanks a lot, Pope. You really needed to be reminded of that fucking song.
Yeah.
All right. I think, yeah, totally. Online leaderboard is bringing back the score chasing and all the good old competition. Okay, sometimes his writing's weird, so bear with me. Well, mostly, if you have an online community that you are specifically going against, like VG Evo. Look at Superstardust HD, for example. All the VG Evo spent months trying to get better scores than other people and beating Bork. Hey, you got mentioned again. How about that?
Sweet.
You never would have seen that competition with a PS2 or an Xbox game. I can see that. I would say that trophies and achievements are also a type of online leaderboard. Mm-hmm. And we all know how much everyone whore those achievement and brag their platinums. Okay. So again, yeah, the online leaderboard is definitely bringing back the score chasing. Lol, I'm so good. I'm listening to Indus while playing Street Fighter 4 and typing this email during load screens. Talking about distractions.
Wow. He needs to install it. Yeah.
Yeah. Install your Street Fighter 4.
Install Street Fighter 4. Load times should not be that long.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that was crazy. When I first got it, I started playing it without installing it. And I was like, wow, this is like 20 seconds between matches. I couldn't handle it. But then when you install it, down to 5.
Yeah. No kidding. Oh, yeah. No kidding. I actually, what happened to me is that I played it for like one day where I was, I just picked Chun-Li and said, okay, I'm going to beat the game. And, you know, that's the first thing I did. I beat the game, and I was noticing the really long load times. And then without thinking about it, I started another game, and I just got tired of them. And I was like, okay, there's an install option. I'm going to go ahead and install it. So I installed it, but didn't get to play it after I installed it. Then went over to Jason's house and played it and saw how much faster it loaded, and I was just, my jaw just about dropped.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, okay, so achievements and trophies. Mm-hmm. Definitely part of this conversation, I think.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah, for sure.
I think that's
what started most of it.
I think you're right.
Scoring games are gone for how long? It all became to like completing a game, beating a game, or online multiplayer, and then achievements gave you that number of that my number is bigger than your number, which means I'm better. Yeah. Even though it's a bad way to judge that, especially with achievement points.
Well, it's interesting because achievements are almost an extension of what console gaming used to be. You know, mm-hmm. it then gave you an award for actually beating the game. So whereas before you wouldn't be able to tell your friends, you could tell them you beat the game, but you couldn't compare like I beat this game and you beat that game, and that's kind of what achievements did. And then they also added the scoreboards to a lot of these games as well. So it's kind of an interesting way to move forward from that.
Yeah, and like, I am not an achievement whore or trophy hoe by any means, but I do love when I hear that little noise and the little message pops up and says, hey, you got so much points, and here's what you did. I'm like, that's awesome. I love, like, seeing my e-penis grow, but I wasn't really that competitive until, and I just realized this, it was kind of funny, because it was just like the other day, I'm like, oh my god, maybe I am turning into one, but it goes again with my competitive nature one-on-one, where A friend of mine got a 360, I guess probably about a year ago, maybe a bit more, but he didn't really play too many games because he didn't really have too much time. And lately, because he was like getting married and stuff like that, and recently they had a kid, so he's really hasn't gone out that much at all, so he's been having more time to play games, and he's borrowing games from me all the time, and he brings them back. I'm like, oh, did you beat it? He's like, oh yeah, I beat it. I'm like, holy crap, dude, I've had this game for like 3 months and I haven't beat it yet. He's like, yeah, well, whatever. And he started off with, I think at the time I was probably about 10,000 gamer points and he was probably about 3. And then he's like, he comes to me the other day, he brings back Spider-Man. He's like, yeah, I beat it. And by the way, at this rate, I'm going to have your score beaten like a couple weeks. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, don't worry about it. So then he leaves and I go, like, what's his achievement score? And he's like at like 8, no, he's at 10,000 and something and I'm just over 13,000. So he caught up that much in literally about a month. And I'm just like, oh my God, no, this can't happen.
Did you like, go rent Avatar?
Holy crap.
I'm thinking about it. I'm really thinking about it.
But yeah, hey, I'll give you a tip. Yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, TMNT, yeah. That's another easy 1,000 points.
Yeah, yeah, you just play through it, right?
Yeah, I actually, when they did that whole Old Spice challenge thing, that was my 1,000 points right there.
That was nice. Yeah, I can't let him
I'm saving Avatar for another challenge like that. but idea. Yeah, I mean, it's even on the other site that Jeff and I frequent, GLF, they have, they have, in like the PS3 area, they have a trophy leaderboard, and in the 360 area, they have a 360 and achievement point, leaderboard. And, yeah, I mean, some of the scores are just ridiculous. It's like, how do you have this much time to play games? You know?
Yeah.
Necro, that the first email, his is like 55,000. I'm like, are you fucking serious?
That's
it's
insane.
Like, holy crap. I will never get that high. But for me, achievements are more about achievements or trophies are more about like different things to do in the game that I wouldn't have thought of before. Mm-hmm. Like in Fallout, for instance, there's an achievement or a trophy for picking someone's pocket and then dropping a grenade in their pocket and watching it blow.
Yeah.
There's an achievement for that. I thought that was awesome. So I obviously wanted to do it. So that's kind of what I look at achievements for. I don't really try and whore out many games. Fallout was probably the one of the very few that I actually was like, okay, I want to get all 1,000 points in this game.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think the one thing about it though is that it's kind of misleading because they all like every game adds into a one single score.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You don't. It's. When I look at that kind of thing, if I'm score chasing, I'll actually look on a per game basis because I don't care what your total score is because you might have played 130 games more than I have.
Yeah.
But I want to know how I'm doing against you in this particular game.
Yeah. Now I got a question. How often do you actually go through someone's achievements or trophies? Do you do that a lot?
Not often.
I tend not to do that very much.
I don't very often, but if I know like a friend of mine is playing the same game as I am at the time that I'm playing it, I'll go and look and see what they've done that I haven't done.
Yeah, that's what I usually do.
It especially helps that you can check all that shit online.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't do that with trophies just yet. They're getting there. They just put like the trophies online where you can view your own trophies.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a matter of time before you can compare to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, yeah, I will do that on Xbox Live, Xbox.com.
Yeah, I definitely did it when I was checking out my friends, like, the same guy, his achievements on Dead Space. I lent him Dead Space and he beat it. And I'm at the very last chapter and then I'm looking through his achievements and he has like a 400 score achievement higher than I do in Dead Space. And I was like, well, you must get a lot for beating the game. And I saw how much it was for beating the game and it was only like 40 or 50 points. So I'm like, whoa, what? I'm like, I'm on the last chapter. How does he have so many points? I'm going through all this stuff. I'm like, how did he do what? I'm going through like he did this and this and this. I'm like, wow, how did I not do all that stuff? And
yeah. The
amount of time I played it. So every once in a while, I also like to check because it's good because it tells you where someone is in the game too. So if you're stuck, you can be like, hey, I can't beat this boss. And you check your friend's achievement list or trophy list and be like, hey, they passed.
Yeah,
that
that's
part.
True too.
Let's look them up.
That's true too.
How'd you beat that guy?
Yeah, I think they're a great addition to games this generation. I'm actually very glad they I don't, as I said, I'm not I don't go out and buy games just for achievements, but you know, it does make me play games in different ways.
Yeah.
Well, look how much they took off. Like even the trophies. I mean, people get all excited when a achievement list or trophy list gets leaked before the game comes out. They're like, "Oh, here's a list of trophies and achievements for this game." And everyone just salivates over it and they're like, "Okay, I got to do this, 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 this and this." And the bad part is I really, like, I can see why developers do it, but I really, really want them to take out the achievements and trophies for online games, for stuff that you have to do online.
Yeah, I agree.
I can see why they do it, because you really want to have an achievement that's like the elite of the elite, like you get like in the top 10% ranking this or whatever, and this many headshots, this whatever, many whatever. But actually, no, sorry, my opinion is, sorry, the other way around. I'm like, have them in the multiplayer, but don't make them to the stuff that people are just going to make a room just to get achievements and trophies.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
When Halo 3 first came out, and you'd be in matchmaking, and you'd get into a game, and all it would take, everyone's like hyped to play, and all it would take was one idiot to go, hey guys, you want to just screw this and get the achievements, because you can only get them in ranked matches? And then everyone just like, oh yeah, let's do that, and then they just take turns, like, shooting each other with rockets or whatnot. I'm like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, set up for a ultra kill or for a team kill or something stupid.
Exactly. Yeah, I gotta kill five people with the rocket launcher. Everyone stand right there. Stand right there. And I'd try to like grief them by like shooting them before the rocket hits or something like that. It was a pain. And it's always like that for the first couple weeks when a game first comes out with that kind of, like, Gears was like that too. Like, get 100 pistol kills, so people would be running around with just the pistol and just like, come on, guys, that's a serious game. I wish they would have more stuff like more wins, like certain, you're on the winning team this many times, or you know what, like you were the MVP of this game this many times. Like, take out the ones that are get X number of this, because that's just ruins the fun.
Yep. All right, cool. Let's do another email here. This one is from Travis, otherwise known as Spoiler Alert. What's up, pimps, players, and hustlers? It's rather obvious that we have the old school arcade hits to thank when we talk about online leaderboards. The Pac-Man, Donkey Kongs, 1942s, etc., have shown us that the epic quest to find who has the largest e-penis in our local arcade was a feature that was destined to carry on almost 30 years since its inception. Online leaderboards continue today to be one of the more engaging and flat-out fun features in games like Super Stardust, Pinball FX, and tens of shmups all over the interwebs. Tens and tens of shmups. Sorry. Personally, I feel like I feel that we can thank this ever-evolving score chasing for that stat tracking we have now for games like Halo 3, SOCOM, and Killzone. Okay. Developers have taken the simplistic idea of tracking the stats of just one score and made it into a plethora of stats concerning your kill to death ratio, accuracy, wins and losses, your overall worldwide and or friends only ranking. Developers should continue evolving these ideas more and more, because they are the more they keep us interested in their games without us even playing them is a major win. And a sign of their dedication to their craft. Indus for the motherfucking win. Spoiler.
Thank you, Spoiler.
So, you guys think that's true? That some of the stat tracking and stuff actually came from score tracking and score chasing?
Yeah, I think so. I always liked it back in... I'm trying to remember which one it was. If it was Unreal Tournament, the very first one, I remember I could go to some special webpage the game created where it would actually tell me the number of kills I had with each weapon and everything like that. And I remember seeing that and thinking, holy crap, this is damn cool to look at. See how many times I've died, see how many times all that happens. And, you know, once you're tracking all that, it just means it's a natural progression into saying, hey, what if someone did this 100 times? You know, maybe we could say, hey, you killed 100 people with a pistol. That's pretty badass, you know?
I agree. I enjoy seeing, especially when they integrate stuff like that with, like, what you were saying. You could actually go online and see what you were looking at. And, I mean, I hear that they're doing all kinds of stuff with that for, like, Killzone. Something about, I heard that they actually record the matches and put them online, and you can actually see what everybody was doing in the match.
Like, every
match? On Killzone.com.
Holy crap.
And, yeah, I mean, they're just, like, taking huge steps with that kind of stuff. And, you know, it makes it a lot more interesting, because if you see that you're leaning towards one weapon and you're more successful with one weapon, well, you might start being better with that.
You can argue that started back in like 2000 though, or whatever year Halo 2 came out.
Yeah,
because that was crazy in depth. I'm not sure if we mentioned it last week, but it went down to the point where you could see where you killed somebody with what gun and how many rounds it took to kill them. That's just ridiculous.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was really detailed. And people, like, and God, I'm surprised it took this long for another developer to do something similar and do it like really well as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But people are checking that site like all the time. I was on it today. I'm like, hey, I want to check what my stats are. But it is kind of weird because it is kind of glitchy though, because it did say mine as well as some other people's favorite weapon was the shotgun. I have not even used the shotgun yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it got that, but
I think it was I was listening to Amplified Gamer. Mm-hmm. And Mad Scientist was telling us that was saying that the shotgun was his favorite weapon. and I was laughing at the time because last week when we were talking about Killzone, was calling it the noob cannon the entire time.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, shit, that's the gun I'm going to use then.
Yeah, you got to open it, though. Unlock it.
Yeah. Cool. All right, well, we got one last email, and this is from Repeat. And he says, good day, Indus crew. So have online leaderboards brought score chasing back? Well, yes and no. For the enthusiast gamers, they have been comparing scores in various ways well before the online leaderboards started getting built into games. Just look at places like Shmups.com forum or Twin Galaxies. However, for the more average game player, the online leaderboard makes it really easy to compare amongst friends, and I do think it has brought the chase back. Looking forward to seeing one of you in the next few weeks. Ooh, I know who that is.
Who will that be?
Eric? Repeat.
Is he visiting you?
No.
Maybe in Wisconsin.
Oh, are you going to MGC?
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it.
I know. We're the only ones not going, Chris. See what
I know.
Fucking
it
did.
Sucks. It's all. It's not my fault.
Oh.
It's not our fault either. It's not okay. Crystal's fault either. We set our date first, damn it.
Yeah, I know.
Blame Dan.
So, I do want to say that I do love the way that when you're on Xbox Live that it does, like, every time you highlight a game, like in your arcade list, that it shows you your friends' top scores, like who's number one and all that. And that's actually gotten me interested in playing some of those games again. Like, I'll go back to them and play them and try and get ahead of the person that was there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, because I've done that with a lot of games where, especially back middle last year, there were so many games I would sit there and chase people on, like different people from VGEVO or wherever, where it would be, you know, it could be anything. On Xbox Live, it'd be like Root Beer Tapper even, or Pac-Man Championship Edition, or Geometry Wars, and I'd just scroll through my list, and I'd be like, oh, crap, that guy just, you know, destroyed my Root Beer Tapper score. I've got to go back and start playing that game again.
I think it was... Jason has one of his favorite score chase stories is when he started playing Pinball FX and he got like the Street Fighter table.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's right.
And DJ Incompetent apparently beat his score and sent him a message and said, I left you a present. And he's like, fuck. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I remember he did that to me. DJ did something similar to me on Geometry Wars, except then I sent him a message back about 5 minutes later that said, back to you.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Well, actually, we have a little comment from DJ Incompetent, and I wanted to read it. We don't usually read off of the board, off of the post, but because he specifically mentioned you,
uh-oh.
I wanted to go ahead and read it. So here's what DJ Incompetent said in our Question of the Week thread on VG Evo. He says, hell yeah, it's been revived. Just 2 days ago, Gradius Rebirth came out. SF Koa, I think that's how you say it. It's Khoa. I'm not sure how he pronounces it, but SF Koa and I have been battling for number one ranked in the West or whatever geographical region we're set to. We've been talking shit back and forth on Shmups.com forums when one guy overtakes the other guy's score. Then he posted a video of SF Koa playing Gradius 3, I think it is.
I think it was Ryden 3.
Or Ryden 3, you're right, yeah, Ryden 3. And it is fucking ridiculous. And I'm going to put it in the show notes, so anybody who hasn't seen it yet can see it, but it is crazy. I could only wish to be even close to that good at a shmup. But he continues to say, and before that, Boric and I fight on Geometry Wars 2. We always tend to end up tied at winning 3 leaderboards each. I've been trying a while to change that, but whatever I do, he comes right back.
Nice.
Online fighting is awesome and one of the best things to come to the commonplace in the past few years.
Do one of you guys have a videotape that you recorded just in case? Someone beat your score and you send it in. You're like, nope, actually I beat that last year.
So now, tell me about some of this Geometry Wars 2 leaderboard chasing that you guys are doing.
Oh, it was going crazy there for a while. I mean, because, you know, there's the 6 different modes in Geometry Wars. And basically, we would both go back and forth on which ones we'd be on top of. So generally, I'd have, like, Kings, and I think he had Pacifism. But, like, I'd have something like Sequence and Deadline or something. We'd keep going back and forth.
That's pretty cool. I have heard about all the different modes. I actually don't have Geometry Wars 2. I keep thinking about getting it, but I keep, like, pushing away from it because I'm like, I'm saving my I'm saving all my space bucks for the Fallout downloadable content when it gets there. So but yeah, I've really been interested in looking at it. I just need to check it out.
Yeah, I haven't checked that out either. I had the first one and I do play it. It's probably one of the most played Xbox Live Arcade games I have, but I don't play it for long periods of time because I really suck at it. I'll usually just be like, play it while I'm thinking about what I want to play. It's fun. Do you recommend to Eric like me who's not really hugely into it, but I'd like to have fun with it every once in a while?
Well, I think so, because the 6 different modes really makes a difference, because it's almost like 6 different games in one. And mm-hmm. And the really cool thing is, you know, if you're the least bit into score chasing, this one really gets you into it, because when you start it up, you know, you've always got the thing on Xbox Live where you can see your score before you even start the game.
Yep.
But when you start this one up, it shows you all 6 modes, and it shows you your friend's leaderboard on every single mode right there before you even select it. So yeah. You can be like, oh, that bastard just passed me again. I can, have to go destroy that mode or something like that. And that's exactly how it went with me and DJ. Is I'd go on there and I'd be like looking at all of them, and I'd be like, wait a second, DJ wasn't ahead of me in that mode yesterday. I'm gonna have to go teach him a lesson.
Another game that did it like that, because I know Geometry Wars, it shows the next person in line to your score.
Yeah,
like that's the one it shows at the top. Another one that actually does that, and I really like the fact that it does that, is actually Little Big Planet. And it's not a game that I really think of immediately when I think of score chasing, but they do put some stuff in there to make it interesting for people that want to score chase.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how they've kind of implemented score chasing in a lot of games that you wouldn't think of that in that way. Like, even like you were saying earlier, Necro with his Ninja Gaiden, you know.
Right.
Ninja Gaiden's not the sort of game I think of as scoring based. I think of it as, you know, just an adventure game, but they've managed to put in some sort of comparison in all of these games. It's really cool.
Even in Halo 3 co-op, you can turn on that metagame that keeps score for each player. It's like headshots are worth more than body shots, and brutes are worth more than grunts, and they give you points for everything. And I tried that once online. It went from a friendly co-op game to, yeah, we're having fun playing this cooperatively, to you wanted to kill everything and kill your own teammates, even though you got penalized for it, just so you can get more points in the long run.
Nice.
It's pretty crazy.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, I have to say that I was never really into the score chasing thing until the online leaderboards showed up. So I'm actually very glad that things like this are happening, because now it's like I am interested in playing Super Stardust HD again, because I want to get in on, I mean, I've been wanting to go back to that game because I keep hearing Sarah and Jason go back and forth about how they keep beating each other's score. And I'm like, okay, I want in on this, you know, because I played, it's like they're playing on easy mode, and I played easy mode like once to get my, like, the 10-time multiplier trophies. Trophy.
Yeah.
Right. I trophy-hoed that game because it was the first game with trophies. Right? So, and it was like, that was the last time I played easy on that game is when I got the 10-time multiplier trophy. And then I just stopped. So now it's like, I want to go back and do it again because I want to see if I can get any better at that game. So, and that's another thing that it is. It helps you strive to get better at the game. And I think that's as important, if not more important, than the chase itself.
Now, I've got a question for you. Now, you know how a lot of these games like Super Stardust have the leaderboards, and then you look at a game like Everyday Shooter, and they didn't build leaderboards into that at all. What do you think about that? I mean, and the funny thing to me about that is he didn't build them in, but if you read the, like, instructions, the creator sits there and says, oh, by the way, here are my best scores on my own game. What do you know, try to beat them.
Right,
I thought
right.
That was kind of ironic that he left out leaderboards but threw that in.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Well, he doesn't want anybody to know that his scores got beat.
Too much of a shot to his ego.
Exactly. it's you make a that's a good point, and I never really thought about it, because I mean it's even though they're both the dual stick shooters, I keep them separate because I feel very different when I'm playing both of those games.
Oh, certainly.
Mainly because Everyday Shooter has it's so much about the visual style and the music and how everything just blends together.
Yeah.
And Stardust is just a beautiful kick-ass game that I want to do as well as I can, you know? But I could definitely see value in online leaderboards for that game. I'm not sure why they didn't put them in.
No. Yeah, any game like that, they should have them for sure.
Yeah, I think so too.
I wouldn't see where it would take anything away, but, you know, some people might not think it adds much to that one in particular, but, you know, if it's an option, why not just throw it in there? I would think, but.
What are some of the big games that you score chase on right now?
Nothing really recent. Still getting that Geometry Wars every once in a while. Pac-Man Championship Edition has always been one of my favorites.
Nice.
Of course, Super Stardust. Let's see, there's also other games like Zuma I actually score chased on for a while.
Okay.
And I think I mentioned earlier some games like Root Beer Tapper. I mean, I've been, you know, playing lots of different games. That's, like I said, that, these arcade games and the whole leaderboard thing is pretty much the reason I got the 360, and also partially the reason I got the PS3, because I bought my PS3 and the first two games I got for it, I didn't buy any disc games. I bought Stardust and I bought Calling All Cars.
Nice.
and that was good enough for me at the time. I was like, Super Stardust is an awesome game. So.
Oh man, Super Stardust. I got that almost immediately. I think I got it the day it came out, and I was so happy that I did, because it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous game.
Oh, absolutely. You know? And I still play it all the time. And the thing I like now is they have all these different modes. So it's not like every once in a while, I'm not in the mood to play for a couple hours on normal mode. Cause obviously when I sit there and play it goes for a couple hours, not to throw that out there too much. But, they've got the modes where you can just play the planet, or you can just play the easy mode, which only loops once, which is kind of nice because you've got more of a timed, you know, session instead of just a marathon.
So then it's all about getting your multiplier up to 10 as fast as possible.
Yeah, so it's more like, that's kind of why I like Pac-Man Championship Edition. You know, you've got your 5-minute time limit, so it's not like you have to sit there and play for hours and hours and hours to try to score chase. You can actually just play a 5-minute session and knock one out real quick, and, you know, maybe you can still get a really good score just that fast.
Right.
So.
Right. I've actually, honestly, I've only played Pac-Man Championship Edition once.
Oh.
And that was actually when we were, when we went to Chicago to hang out with Terry, and Christine. And I really enjoyed it. And that's a game I am very much looking forward to picking up, because I do need to go back and play that. But it's, you know, the first time I played it, I was having a lot of trouble with the D-pad on the 360.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had to switch to the analog stick, and it just feels weird. But, you know, first time I'm playing, I think I got like 40 something thousand or something like that. So,
yeah.
It's something that I know I could do better at, and I really want to go back. Cause I played Miss Pac-Man all the time and would get in the hundreds of thousands and just would be really happy playing the game, you know? And
oh, yeah, yeah. And the good thing about that is it's so similar to original Pac-Man mechanics, you know, so that if you've played Pac-Man, you kind of have a pretty good idea how to play this version, you know?
Right, right.
Whereas something like, for instance, Galaga Legions is kind of more of a far cry from the original Galaga. I don't know if you've played that one at all.
I haven't. How is that?
It's a lot different. It's more about knowing the patterns and how they're coming on the screen as opposed to just surviving. Cause I mean, if you don't know the patterns in this game or don't know what to expect, you're just gonna die. So okay. It's a lot different. I still think it's a good game, but I don't think it, to me, Pac-Man Championship Edition was like a good forward step for Pac-Man, whereas Galaga Legions is more of like a side story, a different way of playing Galaga. So
right,
but it's it's still fun.
I like to have Championship Edition. That's really good. I had fun with it.
Cool. All right. Well, that is all the emails and stuff I have. Bork, what else do you want to add? Because I know you're the big score chaser on VG Evo, and everyone, you're like you're the guy that everybody wants to strive to beat.
Yeah. Hey, even on VG Evo's arcade, they're trying to beat me. I don't, you know. We've got that little Flash arcade on there, and everyone's trying to chase me on there still.
You know, I've never played any of the games in there.
Actually, that actually reminds me. Now you're saying Flash Arcade. At work, actually, when we had a slow period, this was a few years ago, my team, there's a stupid soccer game where the ball would come across the screen, you got to kick it into the goal, like get it past the goalie. And that was a game, there's like three of us who were really, really competitive, and that was like, someone would have the score. Next thing you know, he sent an email out to everyone with a copy and paste picture of your score. And they'd be like, "Oh, that bastard!" So you'd try to go beat him. I actually do remember that. There was that in another game where you had to shoot these dudes as they're walking by. And that was a lot of fun. So actually, I did do some score chasing recently. That was awesome.
I was going to say, that just reminded me of a random Flash game, too, that we did at work where someone found this game called Nanaka Crash. Have either of y'all heard of that?
No.
I'm not sure. Is that the one where you hit the seal?
No, on this one, you like ride a, you're like a Japanese girl on a bicycle and you crash into this guy and you like send him flying. And it's one of those games where, you know, you try to see how long you can keep him going, how far you can knock something.
Yeah.
Bouncing off of things
yeah.
and stuff like that. Yeah. And they're at work for oh God, weeks. We just send back an email every once in a while, like, "Oh, I beat this. I beat this. Well, if you beat this score, I'll give you some of my Girl Scout cookies," or something
yeah.
like that.
Nice.
That's awesome.
The last game that I played like that, I don't remember what it was called, but it was basically just a guy who was super drunk.
Yeah.
Walking.
Just, yeah.
And you had to just keep him walking straight and not run into something, you know?
Nice.
And eventually, it's like, and it seemed like every step he took, he had just drank another beer. It just got worse and worse as it went.
I played that one.
Yeah, it was pretty hilarious.
Nice. I could also mention, I guess, the last 2 years, one of the things that has come from my score chasing is the fact that I've gone to MGC and competed in that Worldwide Shmup Open, which unfortunately will not be continuing this year.
Oh, that sucks.
But that's actually where I met DJ and we started up our battling, was playing all those games. And they basically set us up like about 10 or 15 different games each year. And, you know, as you went, there were like three rounds, and each round you went through, you know, score the best on these five games and the top nine went to round two, and then you'd score the best on these next few, and you know, they'd rank you in each game, so you'd, you know, get a better ranking for first and so forth. And you know, you get to the final round, and unfortunately both years, well, unfortunately for me, both years DJ ended up winning the whole competition, so he is definitely the man. But the first year I came in third, and last year I came in second, so I was pretty excited.
Nice. That's cool. Pretty awesome.
Last year we actually had our final game was Space Invaders on the Atari on the hardest difficulty setting ever, to where I think the first guy who played it scored 5 points. So
wow.
So yeah, it's pretty crazy, but it's a shame that won't be back this year. But I know they've got a lot more little tournaments they always have there, so maybe there'll be some other score chase I can get in a tangle with them on.
Cool. One of the things that I also wanted to bring up is score chase contests from publishers. I'm not sure if any of you guys, if either
yeah,
of you guys
take a picture of your high score and send it in.
Yeah, the last game like that I actually did something like. Have you guys heard of Elemental Gearbolt?
Yeah, yeah.
I recognize that name. Yeah,
it was a gun game for PS1 that was. It was localized by Working Designs, and everybody knows that I'm a Working Designs fanboy.
Yeah.
So I, of course, had to buy it. Well, they were doing this $10,000 contest for the highest score. So I actually, for that game, I actually went through and memorized, like, the entire first stage, and if you got multipliers based on your accuracy. So I actually had it so that I could pick off every guy in the first stage without missing.
Oh, nice.
And then I got to the second stage, and it just got too much for me. And it's, I mean, it took me like almost a week just to get the first stage. So I basically gave up after that. And I was like, this is, cause there's like eight stages in the game. And it's like, I don't think I'm going to do this.
Wow.
Yeah. Man. Fun game though.
Nice. Yeah. And actually, this just reminded me too, speaking of challenges or whatever, I think we've got the, "quote unquote International Shmup Appreciation Month" going on this month, where I think is running some contest where if you dominate the shmups, obviously this is more refined to the shmups, but if you get the best scores or get the achievements that he puts out there as challenges, you can actually like win a Saturn, Sega Saturn,
nice.
with Dodonpachi, I think, or something like
that.
Oh,
sweet! That is awesome.
So if anyone is big into the shmups or the score chasing on those, definitely go look out there and find that one. I don't know if y'all can put a link in the show notes or something, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely will. Sure. I'll definitely do that.
So
that was actually the Shmup Appreciation Month was actually the inspiration for this topic. Actually,
oh nice.
Because we don't talk about shmups a whole lot on this show, but score chasing is something that shmup lovers obviously do. And I mean, when I think of score chasing, shmups are the first thing I think of. but it's also something that everybody can get into, whether you like playing shmups or not. So that's kind of why I wanted to throw this topic out there.
Yeah, yeah, because no matter what, basically the idea of a shmup is just, you know, dodge bullets and shoot back. And I mean, anyone can handle that for most games. I mean, some have much stranger mechanics for scoring, but the basic idea is pretty simple for anyone to pick up. So.
Right, right. Cool. All right. That was cool. Good stuff. Yeah, do you guys have anything else before we wrap up and move on?
No, I think I'm good.
Good.
All right, cool. Well, thank you guys who have emailed in. That was awesome. So let's move on to new releases. All right, so next week for the Wii, we have Ready to Rumble Revolution, Rune Factory Frontier, and I actually heard about this. This is a good deal. It's a No More Heroes and Red Steel bundle for $30.
Oh, nice.
Not too bad. Hmm. Red Steel is a shitty game, but No More Heroes is pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, No More Heroes is worth the money alone.
I'm tempted to pick that up because I actually haven't tried either one of those. And I've heard way too many good things about No More Heroes. So
it's so fun. If you can get through like the open world portion of it,
yeah.
If you can actually struggle through that, the actual action sequences are just awesome.
Nice.
So definitely worth it. Let's see, for the DS, Polar Bowler.
Pass.
Yeah. World Championship Track and Field, which I think we mentioned last week,
and it must
not have come out. And here's a big one. Valkyrie Profile, Covenant of the Plume.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm a big Valkyrie Profile advocate. I love it. So hopefully I'll be able to get my hands on that eventually. There is nothing new coming out for 360 or PS3 or PS2 next week. But for the PSP, we have Scrabble, Resistance Retribution.
Hey.
And, oh, yeah, that's right. There's a Prince of Persia.
That's the expansion thingy, right?
It's the Prince of Persia bundle, which comes with Rival Swords and Revelation. So, that is your new release list. What do we got for pick of the week?
Retribution?
Tough. I'd probably go with Valkyrie Profile.
Yeah, I'm going to toss up right now. I would have to go with Valkyrie Profile because I know I would go out and buy that first. So, there we go.
The RPG over the shooter, huh?
Yeah, that's me. I'm not the hugest of shooter fans.
Yeah.
But, good stuff. All right, cool. Let's move on to listener email, which I guess I'm doing as well because Jason's not here.
You know what?
All right.
Hit it up.
Y'all.
I think this one was from Jaw Muncher, and he said he wanted to send in our first e fail.
Oh no!
Oh god!
So he actually
Street Fighter games full of e fail.
Nice. Maybe I should play him.
That doesn't say much considering I'm the one who's supposed to be coaching him. But anyway.
He basically doesn't know anything about our show because he sent us the subject is question of the week. Where are all the dinosaur games? and that's it. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? So he just says, why haven't we seen more dinosaur games this gen?
Because Jurassic Park hasn't been the cool thing since what, 94? I
know. And they are working on a Turok sequel. He can take part in that.
oh, he loves Turok. You think it's like the greatest thing ever?
There was that free dinosaur Dorito game.
Oh,
or whatever
God.
The hell that thing was.
I played that.
I haven't played that yet. I downloaded it and I never touched it.
I played through the whole thing in 20 minutes and got all the achievements and then I quit and never played it again.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't know. It could actually be fun for another 10 minutes if I played multiplayer, I think. But that's about it.
Nice.
That BC game was canceled. That looked kind of cool. Back in the original Xbox. That would have had a lot of dinosaurs in it.
They need to bring back Rampage with more dinosaurs. I always played with Lizzie. She was pretty badass.
Oh, dude, I remember that game.
Rampage was the stuff.
Rampage
that
was
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, hey, I wonder if Jaw Muncher's ever seen Meet the Robinsons, because, you know, there's a T-Rex in that movie. I bet it's in the game, too.
Yeah, it could be. Or Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Oh, there you go.
Is there a game for that? I'm not even sure.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to those. All right. We got one more email, and this one's from Tay-Tay.
And
we're not going to answer this email, but I will read it. Hey, guys, I'm listening to your last podcast right now. You mentioned an unlimited combo for Seth and Fei Long. Actually, it's for Fei Long against Seth and
Abel.
What are you talking about? Is it hard? Details, please. Enlighten us, Indis.
No.
Because I use Abel, you fucker.
It doesn't really matter because the combo is ridiculously hard to pull off because the link in it, as simple as it might sound, is extremely hard. And they're going to patch it, Pope. Like, you know they're going to. They're not going to. It's whenever Street Fighter gets a patch, which I'm sure will be some point soon.
Yeah.
That's one of the first things they're going to get rid of. But I'll just tell you, it's a super move, link to another super move, and the link is the hard part. I've been trying to do it forever now, not even just do the infinite combo, just to do, it's actually one of the combos in the actual trials.
Oh, and, is it the normal trial or the hard trial?
It's on the normal trial. It's actually like, when you look at it, it seems really easy, but I don't know what it is. I've been talking to other people too, it's just really hard to get the link. It's, you just gotta hit high punch at the right time, and that time is so, tough to time properly, but if you can link it into the other move and you have Seth or Abel in a corner, it basically does infinite damage because you can just keep going in the loop. But chances are, you're not going to get in that unless the person is ridiculously good with timing.
Like, yeah, because some of those links are so frame specific. Yeah. I mean, you literally have one or two frames of animation to pull it off.
It's not like an infinite combo like Marvel vs. Capcom where it's literally you get somebody up in the air like Magneto and you keep doing his low. The one with the little tornado thing, just do it over and over and over and over again. It's not like that. It's this infinite combo. If someone does get you in it, it's not. It is cheap, yes, because it drains all your energy. But the person who's using it against you is damn good to begin with. So,
yeah. Cool. He also asks, how are you guys handling the focus moves?
Me personally, I don't use them too often. I use them usually to counter an attack that I know we'll only hit once and has a little bit of a recovery time. So, like, if I know someone's coming in, I'm not going to use specific moves because I'm not going to help you out with your game. I mean, no, I'll give you an example. Like Bison's Head Stomp, that's a good one to use it because it'll prevent people from following it up because by the time they stomp on your head, you block it. And then by the time they land, and if they're going to try to throw another attack, chances are you already have the unblockable charge. You let go and it stuns them. So that's a good example. Or you can try to use it in like a mid combo to kind of throw off your opponent if they think you're going to come in for like a throw or something. But I really don't use it too often.
Yeah, I've barely learned how to even use those yet. That's one of the things I'm still working on.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I do use them occasionally, but I'm trying to get them more into my normal routine just because of the fact that it does give you that one shot where you can basically take a hit and then follow through with it. And also I like the fact that you can dash out of it, so you're not stuck in recovery mode after you pull off the focus attack. Mm-hmm. So you can focus attack and then dash forward and be right out of it and get more hits in on it as part of a combo. So I really want to learn more about how to get that to work, and I'm you know, going through the trial mode, it'll teach you some of that. So
yeah, like you can, if you can, with the Shoto characters, if you can learn how to focus cancel out of shurikens really well, you can really screw people up, like really, really bad.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen anyone online yet use them to that extent where I've seen some of the videos that you can see on YouTube. So
yeah, that's the thing. Most of the people that have it on consoles, you know, we're not going to see that stuff for a while because the people that are doing that shit, they've been playing in the arcade for six months, just like Gutek said last week.
Yeah, and chances of you playing them online are slim to none unless you're actually at that level.
Right, right. Yeah, because you'd have to actually matchmaker or something like that to get them, right, or something like that?
You'd basically have to set it up because, I mean, chances are they have battle points way higher than yours, so you're not going to be mad. Like, if you only have, like, say 500 battle points, you're not going to be matched up with somebody who has like 5,000. That's just not going to happen. If it does, well, shitty matchmaking system.
Yeah, really. No kidding.
So unless you specifically want to fight someone with that, but
cool. He finishes by saying, "Thanks, Indis. Gutex rocks." And he also says, "I will kick Jeff's Vega ass."
Yeah, yeah.
And then he has it in little hide brackets. So I think he's really scared of you, Jeff.
Keep practicing, Bob.
Nice.
Cool. But yeah, that's all of our emails for today.
Cool.
All right, let's move on to question of the week.
Let's do it.
All right, so next week's question of the week is, do you think too many developers rely too much on gore and sex to sell video games?
How fitting for episode 69, Chris.
Yes, it is.
Nice.
So basically, this is going to the fact that so many games are mature rated lately, and there's so much controversy going around it now. And so we want to hear what your thoughts are. Is it something that they rely too much on? So to answer the question of the week, you can send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can also get us on our voicemail line, which is 818-528-GAME. That's 818-528-4263. You can also leave us a message on Skype, which is Interactive Distractions, all one word.
All lowercase.
Well done.
Boric standing in for Jason. That's awesome.
Bonus Boric comes through in the clutch.
That's right.
Bonus
Boric. I had actually forgotten all about that until you mentioned it.
This week's Indus 100% Bonus Boric.
That's right. Now all I see in my head is us talking
flashing.
To what's his name from
Silas.
My Little Transformer.
Yes.
And just Boric in the background and go, doop, doop.
That was awesome.
Oh, that was good stuff. All right, where were we? You can also get us on Google Talk. That's interactivedistractions@gmail.com. Don't forget Warhawk Wednesdays. Don't forget our Twitter, our Facebook. Our Twitter is Indus Podcast. MySpace is Interactive Distractions, and so is Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Also, I don't know if you've checked out VG Evo, people who are already on VG Evo or not, and people who aren't, you should check this out. Interactive Distractions ourselves, along with Welcome to the Goo, we're putting together a Street Fighter 4 League, actually, that we're going to try to start up at the end of March, if everything goes all right. We are going to have a cutoff for signups. We haven't decided when that's going to be, but there is a thread right now on VG Evo with the details. That's all we're having right now, basically. So if you're interested, get in that thread, put down a post saying you're interested. The only thing we can ask right now is if you are interested, make sure that you're interested in this for the long run, that we want people that will play their matches when they're supposed to play their matches. We don't want this to be like when you sign up for like an NHL or NBA league on Xbox Live or PSN where you fill up the league in a day and then half the people don't even play their games. That's the only thing we're really asked for right now. There's some minor details in there right now. Once we get everything fleshed out, we'll get through there, but check it out. It's on VG Evo. I think it's called Scrub Sport. That's what we're calling it.
Yeah.
So check it out, sign up if you're interested, and should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, there should be a lot more information about that coming out next week. Mm-hmm. And I can't reiterate enough what Jeff just said. Please make sure that you are serious about this. I mean, we were throwing calculations back and forth on how long this type of thing is going to take, and it's going to take at least a couple months to get through all this. So be sure that you are committed to actually play this game for the next couple of months and get through your matches. Yeah. That is very important.
And we don't mean serious. You don't have to be a serious player.
You can play just for fun. You don't have to be great at the game. Exactly. You know, there's going to be people of all, you know, play levels playing. I mean, I suck at the game and I'll be playing. you know, what I mean by committed is just make sure you play your matches. That's all I'm going to say. So, cool. Anything else before we want to wrap up, guys?
I think I'm okay.
Yep.
Eric, where can we find you if we want to hear more from you?
Well, generally I'm just hanging around VG Evo. So, if you're on there, send me a message, drop me a message. I'll be there.
Cool. And are you willing to give up your gamer tag or PSN name if people want to challenge you in some games?
Oh, sure. If on either one, that would be Netherfiend, NetherFiend. And yeah, I'm up for any challenge. Throw me a message and tell me if you beat my score in something, and I'll be glad to come take it back.
Nice. That's what I like. The free trash talk.
That's called confidence right there, ladies and gentlemen. That's what that is.
That's what makes winners, Chris. That's why Borg
is. I suck at Street Fighter. All right, cool. Well, Eric, thank you so much for coming on the show again with us.
Oh,
we always enjoy having you and always enjoy talking to you.
Yep, thanks for having me again, guys. It was great.
Absolutely, no problem. And thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Eric.
Hey, all right.
All lowercase.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.